Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Palm Sunday to everyone, and beginning of Holy Week as we begin the week of our celebration of what our Lord accomplished for us through his life, his death, and his resurrection. We're beginning out here, as is tradition, here at Trinity, and we're on page 2 for our opening reading, and then once we finish the reading, we'll jump into the hymn, which is printed for you there, hymn 335, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice. Once we're singing the hymn, you'll hear the organ also come on. And once we're singing, then we'll process into the sanctuary. We can find our seats. We do ask when you arrive at your place that you please stay standing as we finish up the hymn and begin the service. So we'll begin here in the name of the Lord with our reading from Hebrews 9 and Psalm 111. Jesus Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood, thus securing for us an eternal redemption. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
We sing our hymn. Thank you. It is with joy that we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We sing the Gloria Patri together. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning on this celebration of Palm Sunday comes from the prophet Zechariah in the 9th chapter of his prophecy. Here we hear of the prophecy of what takes place in the triumphal entry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We begin in verse 9 of Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from the book of Philippians in the 2nd chapter. The apostle writes by the Holy Spirit, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now as we sing stanza 5 of hymn 790, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, and as the cross and the Bible come to the center of the nave for our reading. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
We sing our doxology. Would you join us in confessing our faith now to the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We join now together in singing our hymn of the day. Our hymn for today is 442, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday. We read in our gospel of the triumphal entry this morning, and it's all about how Jesus shows up. How Jesus shows up that day and every day. Huh? When we need him, when we call to him, when we pray to him, sometimes when we cry to him, it's all about how Jesus shows up. And the scripture wants us to know plainly and clearly, it's not arrival by Jesus in which he's interested as much in displaying his glory. The one that we read about in John this morning. Not yet. The day will come when his arrival will be like that. But not yet. Not in this arrival. The scripture wants us to know there's really one word to describe his arrival in our text and in our lives when we pray to him and call to him and sometimes cry to him. And this word makes all the difference, friends. The word is accounted for us in Zephaniah chapter 9, where it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he." And then here's the word, humble. Humble and mounted on a donkey. And we get it, right? We understand Jesus' humility and his humble entrance riding on the donkey into Jerusalem. Sure, there's people waving their palm branches. I set mine down over there somewhere, I think, but I should have kept them for this part of the sermon. Waving their palm branches, laying their garments on the road even before him as he rides in. But Jesus remained as was foretold by the prophet. Humble. I got to be honest, I wrestled with this text this week, and it seems to be a theme lately. You know, some sermons, they go like, you sit down to write them, and then it just, boo, no problemo, you got a sermon, and you're happy, and it's all good, and then you can go on and do other things. And some weeks, it's more of like an arm wrestling match, and this week, again, was another one of those arm wrestling matches for me. Of course, it's a good one, right? Because when I get then I finally say, oh, here's what the Lord is showing us in the scripture. But as is the usual routine, I pray and ask God to show me what he wants to show us in the scripture. So I did. And then I got led to the strangest place. For what I was expecting, I guess. I don't know, but I end up in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. If you notice, there's an insert in your bulletin this morning with the text of Romans 5 and Romans 6 on it. I'd ask you, if you would, to pull that out for just a few moments during the sermon here. If you've got it handy, pull it out. These two chapters reveal to us how Jesus still arrives in our lives today. Humble. These verses show us. Look with me, if you would, at chapter 6. It's right there under the subtitle that says, "Dead to Sin and Alive to God." See that on your insert? And look at the very first verse of chapter 6, right there by the number 6. And look what it says. The Apostle Paul begins there by saying, "What shall we say then?" See it? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? He says then in verse 2, "By no means." That phrase, "by no means," in the original language of the Greek in the New Testament is the phrase "me geneto," And geneto comes from the Greek word genomai, and genomai literally means to exist. So this translation, by no means, by no existence, in our colloquial way of talking, probably the clearest way to get what the apostle's saying here in verse 2 is to say, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? It's impossible. It cannot exist. But why? Why would it be impossible? Because we do know that grace abounds, and I don't think anybody in this building or within shot of my voice this morning on the radio or that'll watch our service later online would ever say that we've stopped sinning. But grace still abounds, and yet we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, just like the scriptures tell us. So why is it impossible? Why can it never be, Paul? I think Jesus gives us some very important information along those lines in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew when he says this. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. And then we could say, after the reading, It's impossible. What he's telling us is what he says then later in Matthew's gospel in the 15th chapter. Hear and understand, this is verse 10 and 11, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. When Paul writes what he does at the beginning of Romans 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, or the King James will say, God forbid, or we're even saying kind of in a colloquial way this morning, it's impossible. When he writes that, he sort of wants to like confuse us a little bit on purpose right there. It's Jesus humbly coming to us in his word to help us understand the inner workings of ourselves. Now, this is something we desperately need to know as Christians. Simply put, the scripture wants us to know that if we sin, it is not who we really are. The apostle will say in another place, consider yourselves, or if you're an old King James Bible reader, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. If we sin, brothers and sisters, it's not who we really are. He wants us to know. We're made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone away and the new has come. If we're baptized into Christ, if we sin, it's our old nature. It's our old nature. Sin and death trying to destroy you, trying to destroy me, trying to take us down, literally, like the scripture said as we read, to the waterless pit. Listen to Paul some more here in Romans 7 where he explains. He says, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Or in our experience, I do the things that hurt myself and others, and I hate it. So now, he says in verse 17, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Romans 7, verse 17. We exist now in the church age before the second coming of Christ as appropriately described by this phrase, simultaneously saint and sinner. That's the description of us. The sinful part is us. The holy part, the saintly part is us. He wants us to know. And it's not clearly distinguishable, like the proud philosophers of our ages would want to say. They want to divide this reality within ourselves as the distinction between physical and spiritual. The distinction between flesh and spirit. But it is not so easily distinguished. It's way more tangled up than that, friends. That's what sin did when it came into the world through our first parents, Adam and Eve, is it so entangled us. We're one person. It's true. But he wants us to know that something new, something altogether different has begun in us by faith. Something eternal is at work in you and in me. So that we could say, along with the Apostle Paul, if we, like we did this morning almost, I am the chief of sinners, and we'd be correct. Or, I'm holy by faith, and we'd be correct. Jesus wants us to know how this works. So we know our true identity. God is not considering you or me or any other believer by who we are in this exact moment right now, or even in our past. But in Christ, in his cross, he said it, I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. When God looks at us, he looks at us according to our end. He defines us according to our end. And our faith takes us into the heavens, holy and saintly with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees that. And that's what Christ humbly comes this morning to secure for us on Holy Week. That end. That beautiful, beautiful destination that we call heaven. Where there's no more tears and no more sin and no more death and no more greed and no more hate and no more anger and no more lust. This beautiful, beautiful place that he will usher us into, and he'll do it humbly. But there's one more reason that we're in Romans 5 and Romans 6 this morning trying to wrestle with the triumphal entry. Look at the text with me one more time, would you, on your insert there? This is what often happens to us when we read through these texts in the Bible, is notice right before what we read in chapter 6, there was a subtitle. You see the subtitle there, dead to sin, the subtitle says, and alive to God. But we can't let that subtitle break up our reading like we so easily do. It's very easy to let that subtitle break up the text and the way that it flows. But just so you know, it was the year 1560 with the Geneva Bible that any number or subtitle was even a part of the Holy Scripture. Those were put in, the chapter numbers and the verse numbers, in order that we might go to somewhere quickly and reference in the Scripture. But that was 1560. Before that, especially in the manuscripts and in the autographs of the New Testament, it was completely and totally just a flowing document. So with me just a second, we forget that subtitle, even that chapter breakup, and how it can distract our reading. And we have to ask the question then, look at how chapter 6 begins. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? About what? See, if you just start reading in 6, we're not going to know. Why start off chapter 6 by asking this question? And then the next question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Why ask that question unless, friends, the Apostle Paul is worried in his penning of this text that someone might draw that conclusion from what he just said in chapter 5. So should we continue in sin that grace may abound? So he says, by no means, or it's impossible. Romans chapter 5 tells us very clearly, look at it with me, verse 18, therefore as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience many will be made righteous. You see that? Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, Jesus comes to us as well, quite humbly. And he takes you and me, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. He takes you and me completely off the hook. Completely off the hook. And instead, on that hook hangs his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he does in chapter 5. Christ's work on the cross for us, Christ's work in this world for us is so huge and so epic and so glorious that literally when Paul gets done recounting it, he has to ask the question to the reader, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? See it? This is a huge point. He hangs on our Lord Jesus on the cross, all sins of all people. In that text from Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. It doesn't say by your obedience or mine, does it? It says by one man's obedience, Jesus Christ. It's by what he did. And so Paul takes us completely off the hook in chapter 5. And then he sort of has to explain why or how this actually works and lets us know. That's what God wants us to know today. That you are completely off the hook. This is beautiful, good news. Jesus took it on the cross at Calvary, and he did it to save you, and he did it so that your conscience this morning, whatever's been on it, can go away and be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, washed white as snow. No matter what thing we've done or left undone, we can completely forget it. So that wouldn't mean that it was okay to sin. It's impossible. Jesus is asking nothing of us. He's showing up humble to help us. And here's how it connects to our celebration today. Our Lord does not come riding into your life or my life on some giant noble steed seeking glory, asking us to kiss his holy feet and change our lives to be better before we can come into his presence, before we can receive his gifts. That's not how he's coming to you. Instead, he rides in humble, understanding this world, like it says in Hebrews, that we don't not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. He comes in understanding the confusion that sin causes in our lives and in our hearts. He comes in humble, knowing why we did what we did or left undone what we left undone. And he works on us by grace, through faith, through mercy, through forgiveness, and gives us his unmerited gifts in his word and sacrament. And by them, he changes us from the inside out. Not to have to fix something about ourselves before we can come before Him, before we can worship Him, before we can receive His gifts, but instead, He comes to us exactly where we are. Humble, He rides in. And He goes to work on us, friends. And He changes us from the inside out. The gospel is that free. And that beautiful. That we're completely off the hook, trying to measure up to some imaginary idea of Christian holiness. Paul had to explain further how it all worked so we could understand. But he did set us free in chapter 5. One day he will ride in again. As surely as when Zephaniah wrote chapter 9 and said, humble, mounted on a donkey. And then in the triumphal entry in John chapter 12, it happened. As sure as that connection is there, he will arrive again, and this time in his glory. And here's the thing. We'll get to go with him. He'll take us along. Because he came and he lived and he died for us, not because of what we've done. And he gives us his gifts this morning once again, his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace and his love and his care and his healing and everything that he has. He pours out to us in his own body and blood, the very life of God, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. Through one man's obedience, many made righteous. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented, and we get to enjoy this morning our TLC singers singing the hymn, Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
Thank you.
Wonderful and beautiful as always. Thank you very much. We come to the time now in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, your Son humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Lord, fix our faith upon his death for our salvation. Enrich the proclamation of the gospel among us and enliven our hearts to live out our faith until Christ comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy, uphold this world in your order, O Lord. Preserve your church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Lord, bless our homes, that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction and faith until life's end. Lord, give health and wisdom to all those who serve in public office, that their authority may be exercised for the benefit of our people. Lord, in your mercy. God Almighty, our Lord Jesus did not count his equality with you something to be grasped, but humbled himself. Lord, grant us a mind like his, to spurn all worldly equality and humble ourselves, to find your greater portion in the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, your Son came to deliver his people from all evil. Take away the fear of all who suffer in this world. Lord, especially we name before you from the altar this morning those that are in our prayers. Lord, we remember this morning Carissa, Tanya Woodward, William Tanner, Kay Scharf, the family of Vicki Krizen, her husband John, remember Emily Johnson and family, and John Brownell, Ava Hoffman, Michelle Sechrist, and Will Dell Erke, and Robert Hagedorn and Leonard Vigil, and Sean Austin and the family of Mike Kirk. Remember Jim and Linda Holman, and Audrey Price, and Debbie Ford, and Carolyn Jury, and Mona Hauser, and Marcella Pilcher. And we remember Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson. Lord, and those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, we remember them all from the altar this morning, asking that you rush your aid to them and help them as they await the fullness of their salvation, that you guide them to fix their eyes upon you, their crucified Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament, where he promises to be, that we may eat his blood, eat his body and drink his blood, in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of our sins, and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son, not in wrath, but in mercy, humbly. And as we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in to our service and wish you the Lord's blessings and his protection, care, peace, and healing in your life and in your circumstances. If you're gathered with us this morning in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 9, and if the congregation would please stand at this time for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
and you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's